So if you've got your Bible, be sure and open it to Psalm, the first chapter. And we're going to be looking at the first couple of verses in the first Psalm. It's interesting to me how the song they just sang ties into the message this morning. Talking about God's faithfulness and why we need Him and how He blesses us. Sometimes we just need to be reminded. We take Him for granted occasionally. And thank you, ladies, so much for choosing that song and doing such a beautiful job with it. All of us would like to have a blessed life, I'm sure. But there are certain keys to it. We find right here in the first verse of the first Psalm, God wants to bless our lives. He loves every single one of us, and He wants us to be happy children of His. He just loves us. And His love is unconditional. But the blessings often carry conditions. And they're not bad conditions. They're good conditions. Some of these are common sense conditions that you think about. Well, I ought to know that. Yeah, that sounds makes sense to me. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. And I know we've all enjoyed God's blessings. He gave us a breath of air. We took a breath this morning. We got up, we got dressed, and we got here, and we got to church, and you're here with fellow Christians. You fellowshipped one with the other. You shared love back and forth this morning, sang some beautiful music, heard even more beautiful music. God has blessed us already today. Amen. And the day's not half over. He wants to bless every area of our lives, not just on Sunday morning, but every single day, no matter what the circumstances might be. We are uniquely blessed. You say, well, yeah, but sometimes I got stuff going on in my life, and maybe right now that I don't feel like I'm being blessed. I got troubles and trials that you wouldn't even believe. I got sorrows. I've got heartaches. Well, I've got sickness. I got financial troubles. You mean to tell me God's going to bless me? Yes. Can He bless me in the middle of all this? Yes. Can He bless me when it's all over? Absolutely. He wants to bless our lives no matter what our circumstances might be. The keys to a blessed life begin with this one thing, salvation. Your salvation, being saved. Without that, you're going to miss out on all the other blessings that God has for you. Are you saved? Are you sure? And if you are sure that you're saved, I want you to say this with me. If you're sure, say, I am saved. I am saved. I know it. I know it. I am blessed. I know saying I am blessed may bring image to your mind of some other preacher over in Houston, and I'm not in the same category with him at all. But we are blessed when we've been born again. We're God's children. He saved us. He sacrificed His Son for us. He's given us eternal life. We are blessed. We're blessed in ways we can't even count. But what happens if you're not confident? If you couldn't honestly say what the rest of us said this morning, if you're not confident that heaven's going to be your home, I want to tell you this. God loves you. He really does. And He's brought you here in order to bless you. He brought you here so that you can get an opportunity to trust His Son as your Savior, and you can have every sin forgiven and have a gift of eternal life and know for sure you're going to go to heaven when you die. That's how much God loves you. He brought you here for that purpose. Maybe you thought He brought you here for some other reason. But trust me, He wants to save your soul and live with you forever. Amen. And He wants you to know that. You can be saved today. So that's the first key to the blessed life. The second key is in this first verse of the first Psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. We all walk down a path. That's the path that God has chosen for us, or that we're walking down. That's our everyday life. And we're walking down our pathway, but we've got to be careful who we walk with. Choose your companions carefully, because they're going to influence you. They will, whether you want them to or not. They will influence you, and you probably will influence them. And they may intentionally give you advice for your benefit. They're trying to be a blessing to you. Or maybe they're just through casual conversation and just trying to be helpful. They're going to influence your life. You'll pick up some of their habits. You'll say, yeah, I want to do that. Maybe they'll try to encourage you to do certain things with good intentions, like you need to change jobs. You don't really like working where you're working, and they're not treating you right. I know where you can go to work and get a better job at a better pay and be treated better. If they're telling you that, That's a pretty good friend, right? I mean, that's somebody that you want to hear what they have to say. The good intentions may not be right, but they're trying to be helpful, and they try to influence your life, give us counsel. Maybe they're trying to influence you on what kind of hobbies you have or what kind of recreation you enjoy. They say, oh, listen, if you try this, you'll enjoy this a lot more than fishing. I don't think that's possible myself, but some of you say, find other things that you say, oh, I don't even like going fishing. I'll do something else. Well, you'll go ahead and do that. You're not going to influence me. I've tried a whole bunch of stuff, and I like fishing. I mean, I really do. But don't let me influence you. You don't have to go fishing at all. You can go do whatever you want to do. But we do influence one another, don't we? Even in the casual things. Maybe it's in the field of entertainment or something like that, or maybe they're telling you, you need to change the kind of entertainment you're involved in. Hopefully they're not going to tell you need to change wives or change husbands, but I mean, they're you know, good friends or that you're walking with. They'll give you some advice that they think might be helpful. All of us are influenced by other people. We are. Some of us like to say, nope, I make my own decisions. I'm my own man. Nobody tells me what to do. No, but they'll occasionally suggest it. There was a poem that was famous. It's back in the 17th century, written by John Donne, and it was called No Man Is an Island. Some of you read it. Some of you say, yeah, that sounds familiar. No man is an island. And in the course of that poem, he says, no, we're all connected to a continent. No man lives by himself. Nobody walks alone. We always are connected to somebody else. And so we need to be careful that we don't walk in the counsel. We're not guided by suggestions of ungodly people. That's what it says in this verse. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You can listen to people, but be careful who you're listening to. If what they're sharing with you is contrary to the Word of God, reject it. Amen. You may not want to reject them, or maybe you will want to reject them, but reject what they're saying if it goes contrary to God's holy Word. That's not wise counsel. Don't listen to them. Just reject it. So refusing to be led by ungodly people is one of the keys to a blessed and happy life. That's what it says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Maybe you need to check some of the folks that are influencing your life. Don't let them influence it if they're influencing the wrong direction, starting bad habits. And the second thing is, nor standeth in the way of sinners. And so you can tack on the first part of that verse, blessed is the man who doesn't stand in the way of sinners. That doesn't mean blocking their path. It means standing with them. First we're walking, then we're standing. Oh, that's something we all do. We walk, we stand, we sit down. That's what else do you do besides lie down and go to sleep? That kind of describes our normal day. But he says, blessed is the man that's not standing in the way of sinners. Along life's path, we meet lots and lots of folks. Some of them are really godly saints, and some of them are ungodly sinners. And when our paths intersect with theirs, and we should stop along our way as we're moving through life, if we stop and we detect that these are not born-again believers, these are not people that love the Lord, they're not involved in trying to live their lives according to the Bible, if we detect that they're ungodly sinners, stop. Stop long enough to witness to them. Stop long enough to let them know, hey, God loves you. Jesus died for you. And I know you're not perfect. You may not be the worst sinner, but I'm going to tell you something. You're enough a sinner that Jesus died for you. If you need to trust him and be saved, you can give them a Christian witness. Even if they're very ungodly, wicked people, what are they going to do? Become more ungodly? No. You just might lead them to Christ. And so you stop along the way and stand with a sinner for just a little while. Try to make them a disciple. But what happens if you do? You make the best effort you know how. You pray for them. You share scriptures with them. And I don't mean you beat them over the head with the Bible, but you live the Christian life in front of them. And you're very casual, very gentle, very loving in how you present Christ to them. And if they reject what you're saying, if they reject the truth of the gospel, you need to know something. The Holy Spirit is not dealing with that person at that time. Because if the Holy Spirit was dealing with them at that time, they may say, tell me more. Are you right? I know that's what I need to do. They may not do it, but they'll say, I know. That's right. That's what I need to do. If the Holy Spirit's dealing with them, that will be their next step. But if they say, no, I don't want to hear anything about that, well, the Holy Spirit's not dealing with them, so you can't force them to do something that He's not leading them to do. So what do? You pray for the person and you move on. You don't stand in that spot with them. Because if you stand there too long, you're not going to progress on the road that God has picked for you to walk down. Your life. Because you know what? If you stand there long enough, you're going to miss somebody down the road that God wanted you to go witness to. He's got somebody else. He's got more lost people for a Christian to talk to. And so we need to be prepared to somehow pray for a person, leave them behind, and move on. You say, well, what's going to happen to that person? I don't know. God may say, send somebody right behind you that they will listen to and say, yes, that's what I needed to hear. They may say, Brother Allen said something like that, but I didn't catch it. You know, I didn't like what he said, but I love the way you said it. I want to pray right now. I want to be saved. You never know. The Holy Spirit works. And so we just trust Him to do that. But there's time for us to stop and stand with somebody, and there's time to move on. Don't let ungodly sinners stop you from progressing in your Christian life. Amen. It can happen. You can get caught up with them doing things that they're doing where you never intended to do it before. But you stood there with them so long, well, I thought I'd lead them to the Lord. I thought it'd be a good influence on them. Next thing you know, they're being a bad influence on you. And all your good habits disappear. You find you don't go to church as much as you used to. You find you don't read the Bible like you used to. You don't pray like you used to. Because this person that you were trying to win to the Lord has kind of won you over to their way of thinking. Doesn't mean you've lost your salvation. But you need to know when to stand and witness and when to move on. Don't let ungodly sinners stop you from progressing in your Christian life. Keep going on, because that is God's intent for every Christian, to lead as many people to Christ as we possibly can. The fourth key. Blessed is a man that's not sitting in the seat of the scornful. First we started off walking, and then we're standing, and now sitting. What do we do? Why do we sit instead of walk and stand? I don't know about you, when I get tired, that's what I do. I just sit down for a while and rest. And we need to stop and rest in our lives. And sometimes we've got to be careful who we're sitting next to. We all stop and we all get tired and we all sit down to rest. But if we're not careful who we sit next down and to and rest with the wrong person, while we're resting with that person, they're resting. And again, they might be a bad influence on us. We need to be very careful who we're resting with. But if you sit down and rest with Christian people, you're going to be a blessing one to the other. You're going to say, yeah, man, I've been through a lot, but the Lord's given me strength. And the person sitting next to you is, man, I've been through a lot too, but let me tell you how God's blessed me. And you'll be sitting next to another tired Christian, if you will, who will share God's blessings with you, and you can share yours with them, and you'll encourage one another. So be careful who you sit next to. You'll be a blessing. You can encourage one another. And while you're seated, resting from your stampede in life, you can praise the Lord together if you be careful who you sit next to when you're tired. Be blessed. He says, you're not sitting in the seat of the scornful. Don't sit with scornful people. Now, this is not talking about just scornful in any way, but people who are scoffers, if you will. They scoff when you start talking about God. Ah, I don't believe there's a God. I think all this just happened. No. You believe in the Bible, right? You believe in the first chapter of Genesis, that God created the heavens and the earth, right? That's what you believe. Yeah, that's exactly what I believe. Well, I don't believe all that stuff. I think it just happened. There was a big bang and everything came from nothing, and with some force that never existed before suddenly came into existence, and it just all happenstance, and I believe in evolution, millions and millions of years, and you say God did it in 6 days. That doesn't make sense to me. I don't believe in your God. What are they? They're scoffers. They're scoffers. They're scoffing against the Bible. They're scoffing against God. There's like some folks like that. I hope it's none of you. Sometimes they may agree with that, but they'll scoff at the virgin birth. They say, that's not possible. That's impossible. That's never happened. Well, it did one time. It did one time. They may scoff at Jesus' crucifixion. They say, well, maybe he was a real man. Maybe this man really did get nailed to a cross. Maybe he was executed and crucified. But what's that got to do with me? Nothing. I don't believe that. I don't believe his death had anything to do with me. They're scoffers. What happens if they say, well, I believe he died on a cross, but rose from the dead. Come on, nobody rises from the dead after 3 days. I don't believe that's true. They're scoffers. They're scorners. Don't sit next to them. Don't sit down and rest next to them. When your mind is beginning to unwind and you're beginning to rest your brain, be careful who you're sitting with. They reject the resurrection. They reject the gospel. Listen, you can sit down and rest with them for a little while, but be careful when you do, because they are not going to have a positive influence on you, even though they won't change your way of thinking. You'll hear the negativity, and you're going to have to overcome that to worship the Lord and serve the Lord, because you've heard all the arguments against the truth of God's holy word. So what are we going to do? Try to witness to them. Just like you did for the sinner that you were standing in the way with, try to witness to them. And if they reject your witness, then what do? You pray for them. And if they reject it still, you move on. You move on. Go into all the world, Jesus said, and make disciples. One at a time, you do what you can and trust the Lord. You can't force anybody to do something, but you can sure try to encourage them to make the right decisions. Fulfill your calling to do that. Get back on track. You're through resting. You've rested enough. Now get back on track. Get back to work. Go down God's chosen path that He has picked out for you and fulfill your calling. The reason for being here is not to sit and rest all the time. Sometimes we need to stop and rest. Amen. I'll guarantee you there's some days I've had it. I'm not going anywhere. Yesterday was one of those days. If it hadn't have been for a great event yesterday afternoon, I would not have left the house. Me and my recliner would become one. It was just one of those days. I was physically tired. I was mentally tired. It was a beautiful day to be outside. And my old body says, I don't care. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But we can't stay there all the time. I'm glad this morning. I'm rejoicing this morning. I'm not in that recliner. I'd rather be right here today. Amen. I mean, I didn't have this kind of energy yesterday. It just wasn't there. It was time to rest. But now it's time to serve the Lord and do what He's called us to do. So He says, don't be sitting in the seat of the scornful. The blessed man does not do that. Be blessed. Get up and move on. So instead of walking ungodly path, a path with ungodly people, what should we do? We should walk with Jesus and be blessed. Walking every day. We're moving. We're going through life. Walk with Jesus every day. Be aware of His presence every day. Be aware that He's in front of you. He's already got to where you're going. He already knows what's there. He's walking beside you so that He's right there with you. He's walking behind you to protect you from the enemy. Listen, the Lord Jesus is even in your heart. He's inside of you if you've been saved. And you're in Him. Come on, keep that in mind while you're walking through life. When things are tough and terrible and bad, if you know you've been saved, as you said a moment ago, you know that you've got Jesus in you and you're in Him and you've got nothing to fear. You can keep right on walking on the path that God has chosen you to walk on, no matter how tough it might get. No matter how many people reject the gospel message, you can keep right on going. Walk with Him, knowing that Jesus is with you, that no matter where you go or how far you roam, you'll never, ever walk alone. I tell you what, I'm so glad for that news. Jesus promised He'd never leave you nor forsake you. Yeah. Never. Never, never. That means never. It won't happen. No matter where you go, no matter what happens, He's not going to forsake you. You say, well, I don't know. When I go walking through this life, I don't know if He's forsaken me or not. And somebody else said, I don't walk through life. I run. I mean, I'm going to run all the time. Some of you will say that, man, my life moves at 100 miles an hour. I've got this going, that going, everything else. Slow down a minute. You can't outrun Jesus. Take him with you. Realize he's there. You may have to slow your pace down to move at the pace he wants you to move, or you may need to speed up. I don't know. Let him direct your life. So walk with Jesus instead of walking with the sinners. And instead of standing with the sinners, stand with Jesus and be blessed. Standing, the scripture talks about standing against the enemy. That Satan will attack you, whether you're walking or standing still. But when you're standing, you can be attacked by the enemy. And God has given you the whole armor of God to put on so you can withstand the enemy no matter what he throws against you. Amen. And you've got Jesus. So when you're standing with Jesus, it doesn't matter what the enemy does. No matter how strong he is, Jesus is stronger. So stand with Jesus. Don't be afraid to take a stand. When you're standing against humanity, when you're standing against society, when you're standing against evil and wickedness, take a stand. Say, I'm standing with Jesus. Amen. Shoot at me all you want. I'm standing with Jesus. And I'm not worried about the outcome. So instead of standing with sinners, stand with Jesus. Wow, isn't that much better? Instead of sitting down with people who scoff and scorn at God's word, sit down. When you're tired, sit down and rest with Jesus. Can you picture yourself sitting on a park bench someplace or something, and you're just tired? I mean, you've run as far as you can run. You've walked as far as you can walk. You've stood as long as you can stand, and you're just tired. Can you picture yourself sitting down right next to Jesus? And there he is, sitting right beside you. You can feel his warmth. You can hear his voice. You can even lean over and put your head on his shoulder. Sit with Jesus instead of sitting with these other folks. You've got the choice, Christian. You've got the choice to sit with Jesus. If you choose, when you're tired, lean on him. It's okay. Jesus knows what it feels like to be tired. He went to sleep in the back of a boat in a storm. He knows what it feels like to be tired. Sure. So he'll understand it when you're tired, and he won't fuss at you for saying, you need to get up and get going, you lazy thing. No, no. It's okay to sit down and rest with Jesus and be blessed. Blessed is the man who walks with Jesus. Blessed is the man who stands with Jesus. And blessed is the man who rests with Jesus. I don't know where you are today, which one of those things would describe your life this morning or this week. Maybe all of the above. Make sure you've got Jesus. Make sure that he has you. Be aware of his presence and his power within your life, and you'll be glad. You say, okay, well, how can I know that for sure? What do I do? We always want to do something. What do I do? Well, you go to read verse 2. I finally got there. You read verse 2. Here's the blessed of the man that doesn't do these things, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And when it's talking about the law of the Lord here, it's not talking about the Ten Commandments or even the Levitical commandments. It's talking about the entire Word of God. Every bit of the Word of God. So what does it do? You delight, the blessed man is delighting in the Word of God. He delights in reading the Bible. He delights in letting God speak to his heart and his life through the Bible. He picks it up with a smile on his face and says, oh man, I need more time. I got to have some more of this. Not, oh, I got to read a verse today, get my verse done, and I'm getting out of here. No, no, no. He has a delight in letting his Father communicate with him through the Word of God. And you know what happens when you read the Bible? When you start on the very first page and you read all the way to the last page, you know what you encounter? Jesus. Again and again and again throughout the whole Bible, you run into Jesus, your Lord, your Savior, the one that you can walk with, the one that you can stand with, the one that you can sit down and rest with. You encounter him every page in the Bible, particularly when you go through the Psalms. If you have that in mind as you look at that and say, oh, wow, I need this because I'm tired. I need to rest. Jesus, thank you. The lady sang it a while ago so beautifully. Great is your faithfulness, Lord God our Father. Oh, he is faithful. And so we need to recognize the fact that we can walk with Jesus, we can stand with Jesus, we can rest with Jesus, and we can even be wrapped up in his arms. When you do that, knowing first of all that you've been saved, and you do the rest of those three things, you will be blessed. I hope they're already helping somebody right now this morning, that you're struggling with something in your life and this is a help to you. Oh, I hope it is. But I've got to ask you the question, what is keeping you from enjoying the blessed life? If you're not enjoying all the blessed life that God has in store for you, what's stopping it? It's not him. He wants to bless you. He loves you. He proved it on a cross. What is it? First question was, are you saved? Are you sure? If you're not sure you're saved, you can be sure you're saved by simply coming this morning, repenting of your sins, and trusting Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Asking him to save you, he'll do it. It's not complicated. It's not rocket science. There's not a whole long list of conditions, except that you be willing to admit you're a sinner, trust Jesus as your Savior to take away those sins, and you'll be saved. And then you can say, now I can walk with Jesus because he's in my heart and I'm in him. I can walk with Jesus because he wants to walk with me. Wherever I go, I can walk with Jesus because I'm not going to be separated from him now and forever. I've received him, and he said he'd never leave me. If that's not your case, it can be. We're going to give an invitation here in about two minutes and give you a chance to do that and know for sure that you are saved and heaven-bound when you leave this place this morning. You don't have to join this church to do that. It's a good church to join, but you need to join Jesus. You say, well, I've been saved. How's your walk? You've been trying to walk by yourself? You've been getting counseled and influenced by ungodly people? You need to change some friends, maybe. If you can't lead them to Christ, maybe you need to walk away from them and leave them. How many times have I talked with people who have battled with drug addictions or alcohol, whatever. And one of the first things they tell them when they get into these rehab programs, you need to get away from your old friends. You need to move to a different town. If you can't avoid those people, you got to get away from them. Amen. That's true. Ungodly advice. Stay away. Stick with Jesus. He'll tell you the truth. He'll tell you what's right. And he loves you more than all your old friends put together. So don't be afraid to step aside and say, you know, I can't hang with you anymore. Just can't do it. I want a better life. If you want to come along with me, then that's fine. But if not, I've got to say bye to you. Walking with Jesus. Standing, resting with Jesus. Does that describe you? I hope it does. If it doesn't, maybe you can make some changes this morning. Maybe you can talk to the Lord about it. And I know you can. He's willing to listen to you. He wants to bless you. And these are just some things that can stand in the way. Got to make some right choices. Bow your heads, please. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you, Father, for showing us through this just a couple of verses here of how we can be uniquely blessed. That you've given us a guideline that people we need to avoid as we're walking or standing or resting, that we need to try to share Christ with them, but if they're still trying to overcome you in us, then we need to get away from them and move on to somebody else. We need to surround ourselves with a Christian environment, Christian people. We need to be in church. We need to be in Sunday school. We need to be around your children. Places where you can bless us. And Father, I pray that each one of us today, before we leave here, we will make a commitment, if we've not already done so, to trust Jesus and be saved. We'll make a commitment that from now on, I'm going to walk with Jesus. I'm going to go where he wants me to go at the pace he wants me to move, and I'm going to be aware of his presence every single day as I go down my pathway that he's chosen for me. Oh God, help us to do that. And sometimes when we just stop, may we stop in the presence of Jesus, a time that we can worship him. And Father, there are times when we get tired, and I know people here are tired, Some of us have been through a lot. We need to be tired. It would be unreal if we weren't. Help us to lean on Jesus. Realize he's right there seated beside us. Trust him. Oh God, have your way now, that you might bless each and every person here this morning. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.